Amen. Would you turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15? I just want to ask you a question tonight because I know it seems like this time of year a lot of people get themselves into a state in a frenzy, and they try to apply, I think, on one day of the year, a principle that should be applied every opportunity you get. You've heard me say that more than once. So my question is just simply, are you thankful from your heart? Are you thankful from your heart? Because a lot of people I observe and see that can only be thankful when everything is going their way. They're only thankful when the circumstances are lining up with making them feel like everything is good and they're prospering, they feel good and everything else is going right in their life. But when it's not going that way, then they have a tendency to do the very opposite of being thankful, which would be murmuring or complaining or being negative. And here in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, he says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise." It is a sacrifice. "To God continually," that is the fruit of our lips, "giving thanks to his name. And but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And so there we see that he tells us there are certain sacrifices that God is, well, he says, you know, the only thing that can please God is faith. We know that from Hebrews 11:6. But he says here, God is well pleased with these things. There's something here about this that God looks upon a person's heart and says, well, they're willing to give praise, and it's a sacrifice. It's something they're willing to bring to me and to offer to me because of their appreciation and their gratitude for what I have done for them already. I mean, if you're a saved person and your sins are forgiven, then you should have gratitude, shouldn't you? And so here we are again coming around this time of year where everybody's going to gather together and everybody's going to celebrate a theme of a day called Thanksgiving. But it's the only time of the year they do it. And they'll probably find something to say about it, and that'll be just good and fine. I ain't against all that, but my problem is that that's the only time of the year most people will take the time out to even think about it. And even Christians have a tendency to fall into that same thing because this is the time of year the holiday season comes and all that comes with it. People have a tendency to pull away and get caught up in the festivities and all the activities and the amusements and entertainment that comes with the holidays, and Christmas is coming around the scene. And it's like a spirit seems to sweep over people. And it begins to blind them and they become depressed. There's a time of the year that people say, well, nobody should do without food on Thanksgiving. Nobody should be without some company on Christmas and stuff like that. What about the rest of the year? What about the people that starve from the rest of the year, or people that have circumstances and situations the rest of the time of their life? Why is it that only seem to focus at that one time? Well, that's a problem with me, because I believe the Bible tells us that God wants us to be a thankful people. And so often our relationship, we think only of what we can receive from God too, don't we? And we go to God to receive because it's good to receive, because Mark 11:24 tells us we can receive things by faith. But we have a tendency to just look at one side of this thing and just continually be asking to get something, always wanting something. And that's no problem, because God does tell us, offer us, and command us even to come boldly to his throne of grace, to inquire of God and to seek for grace in the time of need and help in the time of need. But we fail to realize how much we can give to God. Sometimes we don't say, it's like, what can you give God? It's like going to somebody and say, what can you give to the person who has everything? It's like that. You try to just really think it all through and say, what can I give to that person? He got everything. We think it through all the time. But you know what? There's something you can give. It's called thanksgiving. That's something you can offer to God, because it is an offering. And God requires that of our hand. And he wants that. We do that often when we come in. Now, a lot of times we're singing and we're praising the Lord and people are doing that, but a lot of times it's just lip service. Is it from the heart? Are you thankful from the heart? So why ain't got anything to be thankful for? Well, get saved. Because if you're saved, you say you have nothing to be thankful for, then I have a question about something in your experience with Jesus. Because to go back to the foundation and know that you are forgiven is enough to be able to be thankful for. And Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 35, he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And look how much we are on the receiving end. Stop and think about it. Say, well, I ain't received nothing lately. You receive grace every day. If you're breathing, you're receiving grace. If you got a job, you're receiving grace. I mean, it's grace. You're receiving. You're receiving something from God constantly, because he's protecting you, taking care of you. He He's for you. He's not against you. And all those promises he's given to you that you can receive abundantly from him. And that's what we do. We receive a lot, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. We receive an awful lot from God. But see, Paul says more blessed to give. What can you give God? He's got everything. Well, but he asked for something. He's called thanksgiving. He wants us to thank him and acknowledge him who is the giver of all good and perfect gifts that comes down from the Father above. I mean, everything. Well, it was like that little story one time about the little delivery boy who brought a loaf of bread to the lady, and the lady thanked the boy, and the boy said, "Don't thank me, thank the grocer he sent me." And the grocer said, "Don't thank me, thank the miller because he milled the bread and baked it and everything else." And the miller said, "Well, don't thank me, go back and thank the farmer because he's the one that raised the wheat." And the farmer said, "Don't thank me, thank God he sent the rain." We went right back to God. You can trace a loaf of bread all the way back to God. Isn't that something? And we can do that with everything you've got. You can trace it right back to God because every good and perfect gift God sends is rained up on the just and the unjust. So doesn't it say, pray, "Lord, give me my daily bread"? Is God providing you need on a daily basis? So that, they're right there. You say, "Well, I haven't received anything from God." Well, have you got heat in your home, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, and you have your belly filled? Then you receive something. Then be thankful, because it's more blessed for us to give than it is just to receive. But how many people are really thankful when they start receiving things? Because that's one of the keys to faith, is that after you have received something from God, though you don't have it already manifested, you can thank him for it because you know it's coming. And that's one of the keys to being able to endure through everything. So certainly this applies what Paul said in Acts 20, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That certainly applies to our relationship with God, that we can give something to God. Because there's a lot of gifts that we can give to God in that sense, because he certainly tells us to do those things. In Psalms chapter 96 and verse 8, it's an interesting thing here. It tells us to bring an offering and come before God's courts. God doesn't want us to come to him empty-handed. He wants us to come with something. And maybe just coming to him asking all the time is kind of being selfish too. And he says this in Psalms 96 and verse 8, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Come into his courts. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. And so first thing most people think of giving God is material things, money. And certainly God requires us to give because there's certain standards that God has laid up. In Proverbs 3, "Give the first fruits of all thy substance," and on, you know all that. That's the first thing people think of. And yes, God requires us to give those things, but then he goes on in the next verse, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth." And so he's telling us not to come empty-handed, to bring something to him and to offer thanksgiving to him. And then in Psalms chapter 29 and verses 1 and 2. Now I'd like for you to really take some time to think of how thankful you really are in your heart for all that God has done for you. Doing in you, has done, is doing, and will do. In verse 1 of Psalms 29, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due in his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And so God really expects us to give him glory. And when we fail to give him glory for the things he's done for us, that happened in Acts chapter 12 when Herod he didn't give God the glory for his great skills, and what happened to him? Judgment came upon him right away because he did not give God the glory. God is the one who receives all the glory for everything that takes place. God doesn't want to, no flesh is to glory in his presence. He doesn't want us to take the glory when God does something. When somebody gets saved, when somebody gets healed, somebody gets delivered, something happens. And, it's good to be thankful to people, but also it's got to go beyond that. Because God is the one who sent that. God's the one who sent the minister, the gift, or the person, or the individual, or whatever it may be, that it came to your life. And God's behind all of that. And we should remember that, and we should take the time to acknowledge him whom we cannot see because he has behind the scenes, he's worked out a situation in our life and brought something to us to bless our lives because he loves us and cares about us. And so therefore, we should be thankful for that and give him the glory. We can be all down and out and pouting about all the problems in the world and people out of jobs and people don't have this and people don't have that. But you got to go back to the foundation. The very basic thing is that God saved you. And your name is written in the book of life, and that is something to be glad about. And the Bible tells us, "Let the righteous be glad and exalt the Lord and give Him the glory to do His name. As we worship God, we come into a place where we're able to give something to Him. When we bow down before His presence, we're giving Him of ourselves. We're giving Him a sacrifice of praise and giving thanks to His name, His holy name, His name that's above every name, and for all that He's done for us. You cannot deny the fact that God has been good to you. Even in your trials, in your hard times, your difficulties, in your hardships, whatever you're going through, God hasn't changed. His nature doesn't change, does it? He's good, so therefore we're to give Him thanks. And so God wants things not just that are material, but God wants you, and He wants me. He wants us to stand before Him, kneel before Him, lay before Him, and worship Him, and exalt Him. It might seem vain in your mind and your thoughts because the devil wants you to think that, but it is never vain or useless to give God glory. And you can stop and you can make a list of things, and you can certainly find things to be thankful for. And if you can't do that, then something is not right in your relationship, something's not right in your heart. You're disgruntled, you're unhappy, you're sad, you're gloomy, and this spirit of oppression has come in on you because of the holiday season. I believe there are holiday spirits out there. I really do. I believe they manifest themselves at this time of the year to grab hold of people and turn them in a certain direction, and they become all of a sudden just seem to be jolly and happy, but they really are not. It's all a facade they put on. And you know it's true. Because to the rest of the time, they're gloomy and they're sad and they're negative and everything else, and all the problems in life is all they can talk about. But he tells us, I mean, the Bible talks about things. You read through the Psalms was their hymn book. And you read a lot about praise and thanksgiving, and you read a lot about worship. I mean, just read through the Psalms and take the word thanksgiving, take the word praise, and take the word worship, and see how many times you just find it there. Remember, David set up the choirs, if you want to use that term, the singers. And the people and the instruments and how they all got together and they praised the Lord. Nehemiah spoke about it in the book of Nehemiah. This is magnificent to think about it. I mean, often when you look at those three things, thanksgiving and praise and worship, I'm not saying that this is something that is foolproof or legalistically saying this, but thanksgiving basically relates to God's goodness. It really does. And we sing about God's goodness and we believe God is good. So we can thank Him because God is good. And praise relates to His greatness. Is God greater than anyone else? He's the great God. He's a healer, provider, protector, and all He is. And you see these words, when you begin to look and you notice a pattern with them. So thanksgiving is often related to God's goodness, and praise is often related to God's greatness, and worship is often related to God's holiness. And that's why often when you start singing, you usually enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You don't enter in with worship. You can do that, but if you've been praising God all day, I guess you could do it. But you got to kind of get the engine started and get it going in that direction. And you just start thanking Him, and before you know it, you're magnifying God and you're thanking, you're realizing how good He's been to you, even though you're tired and you've been through this and you've been through that, and you cut your finger or you got a bruise on your arm or something. Doesn't make no difference. God's still, He's good. And then you realize how great He is. And before you know it, you begin to bow before Him and you begin to worship because He is holy. And that's what He wants us to do, to come into His sanctuary like that. In a spiritual way of looking at this, that we begin to clap our hands and sing and dance. And before you know it, we're just glad what the Lord has done for us. And we see how great He is. And then we see how awesome He is. And we stand in awe of God. I don't think many people do that today. I really don't. I think they stand more in awe at all of their achievements, all of their diplomas, all of their abilities, all of their gadgets, their home, their car, their money, their bank accounts. They stand in awe of all of those things. You go by somebody's place, man, awe. You say, awe. So, what about God? Just looking at His character, His attributes. I stand in awe of Him because He's more magnificent and beautiful and wonderful than any mansion or farm or anything that people have. He is. But see, if you haven't seen that and recognize that, then you don't understand it. Because see, all you're seeing is what you see with your eyes. All you're going through in your circumstances and situation is all you can relate to. You can't relate to the invisible God because you don't know that He's good and He's great and He's holy. You don't know that He is a faithful God and kind and gracious because you haven't probably experienced it in your life. And so you go down into the doldrums of, you know, complaining about something. Things aren't going your way. Well, think about people that have got it worse off than you have. Why don't you stop and think about that? So thanksgiving and praise are basically things that we do with our lips. Yes, it's easy to do that. We clap our hands, we can dance, but often we sing it. It's coming out of our lips. And we praise Him and we give thanks. I just can't stand for my hands. I can think it, but I got to say it. We do it with our lips. But worship is an attitude. It goes deeper. It goes deep down into the heart. And the other should be from the heart. Because remember Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, 8, 9, when he talked about there, you know you do honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. See, it's so easy to come in and go through the motions. It's so easy to say thank you. It's so easy to learn to be polite. And people learn to do that. We teach our children to say thank you. And so the child has learned to say thank you. Sometimes parents nudge them when they don't. Or they say, did you thank them? When you know that you've got something from somebody. And they want to ask you that question because they don't want you to seem ungrateful. And that's good. Okay, you can do that. But at the same time, is it from the heart? Because you can teach people to do that. They say, thank you. With that kind of attitude. And it's an attitude. Rather than really, hey, I thank you. I really appreciate that. And you can tell. You believe it's from the heart. And so we've got to realize that this is what God requires of us. Because when Noah, after the flood, what was the first thing that Noah did? He built an offer and he offered up a sacrifice to God of thanksgiving. First thing he did. You see that often in the Bible. They stopped and gave Him the honor and the glory and the thanks that was due His name. Just the fact that you went on a road and came back, you ought to thank God for a safe trip. Just the fact that you worked today and earned something, you ought to thank God for it. The fact that you got a good night's sleep. So why didn't get a good night's sleep? Well, thank you, got a half good night's sleep. Maybe the reason you didn't get one is because you're not very, very thankful. I don't know. But in the Old Testament, the people of God repeatedly observed special times of thanksgiving too. They did. So it's not like it's something that's wrong to do, to have a special time. Harvest time came, people gathered together. I mean, it was time to be thankful. Look what God has done. I mean, that didn't mean they did not thank God all the other times they met, because they met regularly. Did that mean that when they had the time in their homes that they read the Bible, they didn't say, thank you, Lord, for my food and offer up, you know, because it says in 1 Timothy 4 that the food is sanctified if it's received with thanksgiving. So you get to thank God three times a day for your food if you eat that much, or if you just nibble and, you know, you graze, maybe you have to do it every hour. I don't know. Depends on which way you go. If you just eat once a day or whatever, if you don't take your fast, and then you can still thank Him for keeping you for the day. But anyways, all through the Bible you see that. But there were special occasions that God that were set aside. Now suppose we did it. So we're going to set aside a time we're going to praise the Lord. Just be thankful. And we're not going to have a turkey. We're not going to have all the trimmings with the turkey. We're just going to set a time. We're going to get together on Thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to do. Why? Because we want to thank Him for all that He has done for us. And so even Governor Bradford in 1621, he decreed this thing after the hardships and everything else, and they had a harvest. They decreed a time of thanksgiving. And you know, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln did the same thing. It's in our history. We want to set aside a time because I guess there was a heart that was turned to recognize the Almighty. There was something there that was coming from the heart. I don't think that they were trying to be politically correct. Today it would be politically correct by most of them. So you have to watch those things. But at the same time, I think these people did have some sense of God and His sovereignty and His righteousness in the forming of this nation and these people and provision that came out of here. Because it didn't take long when this nation was formed. It didn't take long at all. I mean, just like maybe 40 years, and this nation was second to none in production of goods. In a small amount of time. And that's something to behold. So God must have put His hands on something and blessed it. And of course, we see a lot of people were greedy and done things wrong, but that doesn't make a difference. I mean, they proclaimed a day of thanksgiving. Now, tomorrow is a day that's been set aside as a national holiday. I don't know how much longer it will be because the Muslims are trying to do everything they can to stop us from doing anything that has Christianity involved at all. So one day might come, so we ain't going to celebrate that no more. It's a Christian holiday. But you know what? I celebrate it every day. You should too. I ain't letting no demons or politically correct people stop me from doing what God requires. But just like Daniel, I turn my face to God and I'll pray and I'll seek after the Lord. And I'll do what God wants me to do from my heart. And we can look at it and we can see how commercialized things have become. I mean, really have become so commercialized. And I don't want to get caught up in that commercialism. I don't mind recognizing it. I don't mind making it something real to me and my family. But I think it should be something that's real to us and not just something, boy, we're gonna eat tomorrow. We're going to have the good stuff. But you're going to see family. You're going to be around one another. You got something that's deeper than just this commercial thing. Beyond all of that, something to be thankful for. You can be thankful for the fact that we have a communist in a government up there right now trying to operate. So what are you saying? Well, because they're exposing themselves. I mean, they're so overt, it's obvious, and people are beginning to uprise against that. So be thankful that they're showing their ugly face. And, I mean, it's coming out big time. So that's something you can be thankful. I mean, you look at the economy, and it looks bad, but God still can provide your need because, you know what, we don't need everything necessarily we have. Because you think of people that don't have nowhere near what we have. The homes and the cars, the closets of clothes and the shoes. I mean, people don't have nowhere. People could just have a little shack somewhere and firewood for keeping themselves warm. And maybe they cook over the fire. But at least they're warm and they got something to eat. See, we've become so spoiled. And we've become, you know, in a sense, spoiled and corrupt and selfish to those things that we forget what God has done. We take God for granted. And that is a sin. I believe it is a sin to take God for granted. Just to assume that God is going to do this or has done all this and just forget to even remember, look what he's done. Look at all that you have. And you don't have it just to consume it upon your own lust. Because everybody, I know you're blessed. Don't tell me you're not. I know I'm blessed. Okay, I'm blessed. Maybe you aren't. Thank you. So somebody wants to say it, you better say it. You get your chance. But this time of year, we find that this whole thing of the commercializing of this holiday is the kickoff for what? For the economy. Everything starts, the sales go on, everybody starts running, the door busts. Tomorrow, probably by Friday, we will read in a newspaper somewhere, somebody got trampled on. It happened last year. Some toy has come out and somebody's going to trample somebody to get to it. Now you tell me that is something that tells you that's godly or that's right or that's good. See, something about all this, it's so corrupt. And people seem to appeal to all that, and people run to it, and they go to the door busters to get in and get the thing, and they elbow and they knock and push people out of the way. And you don't see nobody saying, well, you go ahead, you get it first. They'll run back to the back counter, wherever it is. I don't know why they have door buster sales and put everything in the back. They ought to put it right at the front. So they just go through the door and hear, I got it. And keep on moving and go check out. Well, I guess they're trying to get people through there to see all the other stuff that they got on sale that's tricks to get them to buy, whatever it may be. So we need to be careful we don't let the world tell us when we're to be thankful. Because I don't want the world to tell me when to be thankful. I don't want to get caught up in the commercial side of this whole thing. Thank God for the sales. I'll take advantage of it, but I ain't going to be in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You can if you want to be. Say, well, you're going to lose $50. Well, I don't need it then. Maybe I don't need anything. So thank you. It's not a day that we just, you know, going to set aside and say we're going to be thankful. It is a condition of the heart. It is something that should come from the heart, from the bottom of the heart, from the depths of the heart. So are we thankful from our hearts? Are we really thankful for our parents and thankful for the society we live in, thankful for everything that we have in this life? Because you got it good. You got it better than you deserve. I know you might not agree with that, but I'm going to tell you that is what you've got. So, well, it's been, you know, my parents are a little hard on me. Well, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to think you got better than you deserve. Because you could have had a parent that beat you over the head with a baseball bat, halfway killed you. And if any of them do that, let me know. I'll take care of them. We'll have a talk with them. But nobody's done that. But the point of this whole thing, we have to remember here that there's lessons that God's trying to teach us. And that is that we'll sing praise with our heart. Like he says in Psalms 138 and verse 1, it's got to come from our hearts. So if it's not in your heart, then I suggest you just ask God to deal with you. Because you can see, sometimes people say, well, I want to praise the Lord, but I just don't feel like it. Well, see, here's the problem. If you say you want to praise God, but you don't feel like it, then you have to do it by choice of your will. Now, you're saying, you tell us, make a choice of our will to praise the Lord, but suppose it's not in my heart. That ain't what you just said. You said, I want to praise God, but I don't feel like it. And I'm answering that question. And so if you say, I want to praise God, but you don't feel like it, it's a matter of a faith. It's a matter of a choice. I'll praise God in spite of my circumstances, in spite of my headache or the hard day or the difficulty or the lumps and the bump. I'm going to praise God because He's God. God is great. And thank Him because He's good. And worship Him because He's holy. And He wants me to do that. And that's what I want to do from my heart. So I will do it by my choice. And a lot of times when people do that, they end up coming off on the other side blessed. Something happens and changes. They feel better because they came to church. They feel that maybe God healed them or delivered them or brought peace to their life or answered a question they had and some of the things that were going simply because they put God first and not themselves. And so Psalms chapter 138 and verse 1 where he says here, I will praise thee with my what? Whole heart before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. With my whole heart. Not just with the lips and the mouth service. But with your whole heart. Is it in your heart? You say, well, how can you tell if it's in your heart? Because deep down in your heart, there's a song. Deep down in your heart, you know God is good and gracious. And you know God exists and that God has forgiven you of your sins. You know that if you are a Christian, you know that. You may be having trials. You may be having hardships. But you still know something. Without a doubt, God is for you, not against you. And because you know that, there's something down there that's saying to you, like David had to say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Was he commanding himself to bless the Lord? And basing upon the benefits of God who forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases and delivereth our life from destruction? He was basing it on something. There was something there. So sometimes, yeah, you might not feel like going to church or you might not feel like praising the Lord. You might not feel like doing something. But this is not a matter of feeling. This is a matter of faith because you know it's right to do. How many times does a mama get up out of the bed to help a child when she doesn't feel good? And the reason she does it because of the love for that child. Because it's in her heart to care for the child, to attend to the child, and to comfort the child and the child's sickness or problem. And the mother don't feel good either. Most says, I don't feel good. Some of them do today. But not somebody's got in their heart to take care of the child. And somebody's got in their heart to worship God, it's there. And though they don't feel like it, they will do it. Because it's in their heart to do it. And it's the devil who's trying to tell you things. He's trying to twist everything around, make you feel bad. And, you know, well, I don't feel good. It's been a bad day and all. It's not, you know, I feel like a hypocrite praising the Lord. No. The devil wants you to think that. Not if it's in your heart. Because if it's in your heart, then you need to punch the devil with a little bit of praise. Because it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, if the spirit of heaviness is here, I'm to put on something. Not to put on, but put on something. I am to appropriate by faith this thing called put on a garment of praise. Envelop myself with praise because God is in the, he resides in praise. It's his throne. It's where he dwells. And so that's what God wants you to do. So no matter what you're going through, you can exercise your will to give him thanks and to praise him and just let the devil take off running. Because I guarantee you he'll start running when you start praising God and it's in your heart to do it. And so we're to remember the lesson here that's been learned by the psalmist so many times when you relate. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, I will praise thee. And I will give thanks to thee, and I will be glad. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And in many circumstances, you look and you read about David and Asaph, and something, they went through their trials. They had their hardships. But when they pressed in, they came out with the right attitude. See, the devil doesn't want us to thank God. He doesn't want us to praise the Lord. He doesn't want us to worship God. He hates it. Because it really is the evidence of faith when a man is willing to praise God and to be thankful to him and to worship him. And he does it with his heart. It's evidence that this man is bowing down before somebody greater than himself called God. And he has a gratitude and appreciation for who God is and all that he's done. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, this will dot your eyes here a little bit. Because a lot of times we think, well, I don't feel like praise the Lord. I can't praise the Lord all the time. Well, this is not what this says here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. Somebody, I wish I knew what the will of God was. There it is right there. Well, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. Well, what is the will of God for your life? Will emerge sooner or later. But maybe right now God wants you to do what he's showing you his will is. So God's will is, right here, as he said in 1 Thessalonians 4, that it's the will of God you abstain from fornication. Here he says it's the will of God that you give thanks. And everything. So then somebody comes along and says, well, we're supposed to thank God for sickness. No, we thank God that God is sovereign over all that. You don't have to thank God for negative things and evil things, but we can thank God that we can see that all things are working together for my good. Because God is for me. He's not against me. God wants to bring me into something. And so I remember the story one time about a man who was not able to, you know, he was having problems with a lot of things. And the person told him, he said, can you tell me anything particularly you can put your finger on? And he couldn't. And the man spoke back to him and he told him, he said, maybe the very thing that you're having a problem with is that you're not willing to give God thanks. And that might be your problem. You're just not willing to give him thanks. Because the man had a tendency to be ungrateful or murmur. And so that's easy for us to go off and things were going good for us in a lot of ways, but we don't feel so good and things don't seem to be going right. But all God wants from you is to give thanks. That's all he wants you to do. And just stop and to acknowledge him. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And he'll direct your paths. Well, maybe this is part of acknowledging him. Just giving thanks for his goodness. Lord, I want to thank you that you've been good to me. Even in my hardships, in my trials, my temptations, you have been good to me because you have given me a way of escape. I want to thank you that you have been good to me when I fell short and I sinned because you forgave me of those sins. So you can find a whole lot, believe me, to be thankful for. But the fact that God is in sovereign control working for us, just like David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. So I can thank him because he is who he is, kind, gracious, good, forgiving, loving, and holy in all of those things. And so are we a once-a-year thankful Christian? Or are we an everyday thankful Christian? And it's from our heart. That's what I want you to think about in your own heart. It's so easy to become a grump or a grumbler or a murmurer. It's so easy to look at all the flaws and the negative things. It's so easy to look at your family, the nation, your neighbors, extended family, and look at all the problems and difficulties and rather just say, you know, I want that just to fade away out of my mind right now. I don't want to dwell on those things. I don't want to think on things that are good, just, and holy. I want to think on the positive things. I want to be a positive Christian. I want to be thankful. And we can do that, can't we? But see, I'm sure we'll find something to grumble about. So tomorrow, if you find yourself grumbling, or the next day even, and on, if you find yourself grumbling, put your hand over your mouth. I mean, just stop. Just go like that. If somebody says you did, what are you doing? So, you can fake that. But isn't it sinful or hypocritical for us just to give lip service and not to mean it from our heart? I believe it is. I believe it is very hypocritical. And I think a lot of people have, in a sense, taking God so for granted and coming to church and going through the motions that it's become a form. It's become a form. And they're really not in their hearts. Now, you have to let God talk to you. But really, it's not in your heart to do it. Because you just soon sit down. And you can tell a lot of times, a lot of people just don't praise the Lord. They sit there, they stand there, they fold their hands. I mean, it's like they don't have any sense of God's presence or the glory of God or the goodness of God whatsoever or acknowledging him. And I wonder if they're saved. I really do. Now, I know sometimes somebody might be contemplating something because God showed them something while they worshiped. But I've watched and observed so long and seen that many times it's just people that just don't give anything at all. They don't raise their hands. They don't clap their hands. They don't show any signs of singing whatsoever. I mean, I ain't got no camera nowhere peeking on nobody. But I have walked out many times and watched, and I've come back, and I've stood back in the back, and I've watched just for observing. And everybody, see people praising the Lord, people shouting, they're raising their hands, and they're just like, man, they really got into it. And look at other people and went, what's going on? There's nothing there. It's like they don't want to be here. It's not in their heart. It's not even in their heart to be here, much less take a moment to say, I want to sing this song. See, it's so easy to learn all the motions, learn all the songs and go through the motions, and yet it's not in your heart. And that's where it's got to be. It's got to be from the heart. Are you thankful from your heart? Or are you just being thankful because it's a right thing to do? Because it looks good, makes you look good. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And that's the question that has to come out. I mean, yes, it's by a choice of your will you get to do it, but it's got to be something that's down there. You know it's there. Just because you don't feel like it doesn't mean you can't do it. But when you got that attitude, you don't want to even thank the Lord or raise your hand or even sing the song, ever how it works for you. You don't even want to vocalize anything. And something is not right in your heart. You're preoccupied. You're distracted. Something's not right. And that's the problem. And yet a lot of people will say Happy Thanksgiving tomorrow to somebody probably. And the only reason to do it is because it's a day. They don't really mean it. Suppose in July you went around and said, have a happy, thankful day. Suppose you did that. People look at you strange. Well, this is not Thanksgiving. What, is it a sin in July to give thanks? It is a sin in July just to be a thankful person? It would be strange, wouldn't it? Maybe we ought to try that sometime. Maybe down to Christmas, everybody says, say, well, happy Thanksgiving. They look at you like you're nuts. Well, that was a month ago. So yeah, but we're still supposed to be thankful. Yeah, that's the way it is. But see, if you stopped and you really looked at this thing, you think, how often we do the very opposite of being thankful. And what is that? Murmur, murmur, murmur. Isn't it true? We're all guilty. I mean, I'm not sitting here preaching to, just anybody out there, not me. I'm preaching to myself. But that's what we do. We have a tendency just to look at all the negative. I know there's a time when, that you can murmur, in a sense, complain about something in a right way when you buy something and it's, you take it back and you take it to the, I want a refund. Why? Well, the thing, look at this thing. It's falling apart. They say, well, it's tough. You bought it. Then what are you going to do then? You got to overcome. You say, well, here, push it in their face or something. You ain't supposed to do that. The other day we went over to a place to eat. I don't even want to mention the name because everybody might not go there anymore. But we went to eat, and when the waiter came to bring all the food and everything else, when the dish came between me and my daughter, I mean, his hand just kind of tilted, and that dish went right down and hit the table and plopped one on all my clothes, onto my shoes. That happened to me before. Ranch dressing on the back of my coat. I'll never forget that time. And you think, what did you do? Well, I didn't jump up and everything else. I didn't scream. I didn't holler. I didn't do anything. I just looked at stuff. That's what I did. It was a mess. Started wiping up and cleaning up. Of course, my wife screamed and my daughter screamed because they saw it all happen. And everybody in the restaurant looks at you. So I got up and moved over to the other side to eat so I could eat my food because I wasn't going to eat right there where that mess was. And I said, why does that always happen to me? You know what my daughter said? Because you're gracious. That's what she said. Because she knew that I was not going to push the guy out the door or complain or get mad at him. And I thought, well, that is true. I ain't bragging about it because, I didn't like what happened. And you would think a restaurant would always then buy you a meal for you. And they didn't. So you think, well, what do? You pay for your meal and you go on. That's what you do. It's so easy to murmur. So easy. I'll never go back here again. It was an accident. It could happen to anybody. Have you ever tried to carry something out on your hand? How many times have you gotten nervous when they come out with that stuff on their plate and you see them walking towards you? You think, I hope they know what they're doing. And then they kind of take it down like that and take it off. I mean, they're good at what they do, you have to admit it. But this time it just happened to slip. It was a hot plate too, and it slipped. And I was the one that slipped on. But it's all about that being having a good heart. And believe me, that I don't know that would have been that way years ago. I don't know it would have been that way. It would have been probably a different story entirely. If I wasn't saved, I don't know what would happen. But thank God I am. But that's the kind of people God wants us to be. A people who really don't try to jump on everything and make some big deal out of it. Now, if he came up to me and just threw it on me, I think I probably wouldn't have been as gracious. But that wasn't the way it was. I probably said, what did you do that for? Oh, me, turn the other cheek. But you know, if you stop and you think about it, it would be impossible, I think, for us to be able to wait to Thanksgiving Day and just take that one day alone and say, now, I want to be thankful for all that God has done and make a list of everything he's done for 364 days. Because you'd forgot about a lot of those things. So if we're just going to say, well, I'm not going to praise God till Thanksgiving, I'm not going to thank him till Thanksgiving, and then come in, I'll thank him for everything he's done, you're going to forget. Because it'll be impossible to remember all those things, because it's just a tendency to forget a lot of things. And you know it is. And you forget. So that's why when it happens, thank him. Show your gratitude and your appreciation that all that God, even in your hardships, even in your difficulties, that you're alive, that God is providing for you, protecting you. He's still doing something. He's doing something in your life, and that's something you can be thankful for. You know, he daily loads us with benefits, it says in Psalms chapter 68 and verse 19. You say, well, I ain't been loaded that daily. Well, you know, he's working on it. Maybe it's you. He's got to change a little more before, you know, the windows open up that the blessings come down on you. I don't know. But that's what he says. He says that we're daily loaded with benefits. And so I like that because I believe that they're there and they are available to appropriate for ourselves. Because every promise is a benefit. Everything he said in Psalms 103 and verse 1, 2, and 3 is a benefit. Forget not all thy benefits. There are benefits that belong to us. And God's love has caused us to be beneficiaries of his goodness. And all of that belongs to us. And we're loaded every day. We can have forgiveness. We can escape from temptations and trials. And we can come to his throne of grace to get grace and to help in time of need. We can get all those things. Those are benefits we have. They're there. They're available to us. And so the old saying, you know, somebody says, well, count your blessings. Maybe we forgot to do that little simple thing. Count your blessings. Because you are blessed. And so you might have something not right right now and you're going through, but how many things you got going that are right? You're saved. You're going to heaven. God cares about you. He loves you. Yeah, but I'm going through hardships. Well, he's chastening you. Or the devil's attacking you. You say, well, the devil's attacking me. What do I do? Resist him. That's what the Bible says. But we have that tendency to be that way, don't we? Well, the devil keeps putting his fear on me. Well, the devil keeps causing me to doubt. You're telling yourself exactly who the problem is. It's you and the devil. Because you're in cohorts with him. You're letting him do that to you. Lamentations 3:23. His mercies are new every morning. They are. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning you wake up, his mercies are new. And great is thy faithfulness. Because that's our God. So count your blessings. You've been through difficult times and testings and everything else, but remember, God is faithful through all of those temptations you go through, that he will not forsake you. He'll give you a way of escape. So thanksgiving is something that's not just an option that we have, but it's a command. Colossians. Turn back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body. And look at this, what he says, and be ye thankful. Now, why did he insert that little phrase there? I mean, is that a result of a right relationship with God and having peace ruling in your heart? That you're able to be thankful? I think so. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. To who? To the Lord. So be thankful. And so you look at there and you realize the results of a right relationship with God produces peace in the heart that makes you just flow, overflow with thanksgiving. Because that's just something you would think that isn't automatic. Then he says in verse 17, "In whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Jesus Christ." By Him, that's what it means, by Jesus Christ. And so we see these things over and again. Be you thankful. And then you ask, are you thankful? From the heart. Not just with the lips. And in Psalms 100, we've been to 1,000 times in our years. But let's go back here one more time because that's how we enter into His presence. You pray, you enter into His presence with thanksgiving. You're just going to go out with your hand extended and say, "Lord, I'm here, give me." Suppose, how many Christians like it? "Lord, here I am, give me." Like little children coming into the kitchen to give me some candy. They don't come around and thank you for cooking the food and doing all the things you've done. They've got their hand extended. And so many Christians are that way. He says, here, in verse 1 of Psalms 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord is God, that He has made us, and not we ourselves, we're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him, and bless His name." Now, why should I do that? Well, the next verse tells you. When you see the word "for," you can always say that's why. "For the Lord is one, He's good. Two, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth," or His faithfulness would be the better translation, "endureth to all generations." So there's three reasons right there you can be thankful. Because simply God is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His faithfulness endureth to all generations. And if you can't see that, then you got a problem. You say, "Well, what about all the problems and the negative things and the people that are hurt and the wars?" You know, those things take place because of sin. But God is still good to all of His people from generation to generation. His people. And that's what it's telling us right there. And so we have to really change our attitude, don't we? Because the psalmist has given us these three unchanging, permanent attributes of God, the reasons we can thank Him. Because of goodness is an attribute, and His mercy is an attribute, and His faithfulness is an attribute. They don't change. "I am the Lord thy God, I change not." When did God's faithfulness change? When did His goodness change? Or when did His mercy change? It doesn't. Not to His people. And that is something for you to be thankful for, because He's telling us that right here. So our reason for thanks is not based on our feelings or our circumstances or how well things are going, but they're based not upon you, but upon God. That's a big difference, isn't it? Because the only time we can really show appreciation is when something's going our way. Yet God says the opposite of all that. He says, the time I want you to give thanksgiving is because you know in your heart I'm good, because you know I'm merciful, and because you know I'm faithful. Quit looking at yourself and your circumstances and your problems and start looking at God for who He is and how He reveals Himself to you, because we really have to change our focus on our approach to God. We're coming to God asking, "Well, Lord, fix me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me. Lord, do this." We're not coming with thanksgiving. And that's the first priority. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Take that time to do that before you ask anything. And be sure your motives are right. So I've got to thank Him for it, dude. And that's the way the formula works. No, the formula's no formula. Your heart's got to be in this whole thing. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We talk about praying. Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Notice what he's saying now. Don't be full of care. Don't let the anxiety and the worry and all of the concerns of life bog you down. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice he placed thanksgiving right there with it. Let your requests be known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. You put that with Colossians and put them together. Be you thankful. It's a result of something going on inside of your heart with a relationship with God and the peace being there. And you can approach God on the fact, I know I can approach God if I'm going through something difficult. I can still approach Him because He's good. I can. I can. Every time you ask Him to forgive you, you know He's merciful. Right? then you know that you're approaching Him. You can go into His presence thanking Him for His mercy, thanking Him for His goodness and all that He's done for you. And that shows something about your heart. You're not just there with your hand extended out all the time. And so look at it, the eternal things, not just the things that irritate you and the problems you're going through and the frustrations. Go beyond those things and just focus on God. That's where it begins to change your life. But if we come to God and say, give me all the time, we have no basis for our faith, I think. But my basis of my faith is not upon my feelings, my circumstances, my trials or my problems, my hurts, my lumps, my bumps, and all the other things that are going on. My basis is God is good, and God is merciful, and God is faithful. That is the basis of me approaching Him, because I know that in my heart. And so you never come without first giving thanks from a sincere heart. Let that be something you practice. I mean, even in your prayer for your food, you say, Lord, I thank you for this food. You come and you thank Him for it, and then you say, Lord, I thank you. It's clean. It's sanctified. And it's fit to eat. Because a lot of the stuff in some of these places, I don't know if they're fit to eat or not. But Psalms 92, go over there. It's a good thing. It says, yeah, it's a real good thing to give thanks. It's not a bad thing. It's not evil. People look at people sometimes and think, what are they doing? Why are they raising their hand? Why are they jumping and shouting? Well, because it's a good thing. They think it's evil. That ain't what the Bible says. Psalms 92, verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto His name, O Most High. It's a good thing. So do you think that way? Then over in Psalms 50 and verse 23, we're very familiar with. This is an amazing statement here. Ask Him to change their whole focus on Him. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And actually that word right there for praise is thanksgiving. It is the Hebrew word for thanksgiving is todah. T-O-D-A-B, pronounced todah, I believe. And it's translated in other places, thanksgiving. So you can change that. Whoso offereth thanksgiving glorifieth me. And to him that orders his lifestyle right, I will cause him to experience the salvation of God. That's the way of freer translation of it. And so thanksgiving will take you into an entranceway into a bigger thing, because you're approaching God on a different term. You're not coming there crying and whining and murmuring and complaining. And so we have to realize, like you look over in Psalms 107, and it says here, that men would do what? Where it says in verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His good and for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And He's done that. And then as you read down in verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And that's a word, todah, means thanks. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. And in verse 21, he says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And then verse 31, he says this again, oh, that men would thank the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. I mean, it's all three here. They cried unto Him. They got in trouble. They cried out to Him. And He barked them out of their darkness, barked them out of their trials and everything else. But were they thankful? The implication is maybe they weren't as thankful as they should have been. Oh, that men would be. And that's the kind of attitude that we should have. So we just need to be careful, because let me just say this. I want to look over with me in Romans chapter 1 and say that being unthankful is going to lead you down a road to destruction. It's a very sinful road to go down. If that attitude is in you as a young person, adult, or because of your trials and your hardships, if there's an unthankful attitude, it's going to lead you down a sinful road. And we see this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not, neither were thankful. They were not thankful. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools, changed the glory of God into uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, all these images and things. God gave them up, it says here. And when you begin to read the list of things in verse 29 and down, where it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, all, look at the things they're filled with. Backbiters, haters of God. Verse 30, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You look at all these people, so when you become unthankful, you're in the company with those people. See, we wouldn't put ourselves in company that kind of company, would we? Purposely. We wouldn't think that we're like those people. But when you look at the context there, really you are in the same category as these people are in the mind of God. Because you're ungrateful and you're unthankful. In the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, he says they'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And in the context, it speaks there about, in verse 2, they'll be unthankful. Now, you tell me, if we don't live in a society today that is unthankful, you're blind. You see it everywhere you go today. They have lost all gratitude just about, and they're very unthankful people. And you know what? Again, you put yourself in that category. Look who you're accompanying with. Because here you see all of these things, a decline of moral righteousness in these particular sins that he's speaking of here are going to be a part of the last days. And so I think there's signs that you can see in your life or evidences of these things. Are you thankful from your heart or are you unthankful? Well, I think that one way you can tell and test yourself is, do you murmur a lot? It's a simple question. Do you murmur a lot? Because if you murmur and complain, we can all do it from time to time. We need to renew our minds more and more and more. Because we need not to let that be something that controls our lives. Because in Philippians 2, verse 14, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And we know what happened to the children of Israel over in the book of in the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers in chapter 13, where they came back and they murmured. Chapter 13 and 14. And God gave them up because of their murmur. He said, what I heard in my ears, I'll do to you. He says, these 10 times they had provoked me. So they just kept on doing it and doing it and doing it. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? He had provided for them manna. Do you think that manna was sufficient for their well-being? What do you reckon was in that manna? Stop and think about it. What do you reckon was in that manna? Every bit of nutrition and nourishment a man needs. Had to be. And yet they begin to complain. That's like giving your children wheat bread today. They don't want to eat it because they want the white bread that's been bleached and all the nutrition's been taken out of it. But God gives us stuff. Maybe that manna is something better than even wheat bread. Got all that good stuff in it. You eat it. Maybe it don't taste good at first, but the more you get used to it, all the minerals and all the vitamins and everything you need are right there in it. And God was providing that for them, and they wanted meat. And they got it, and they called. And you know what happened to them? God sent them the quail and stuffed their mouths, and they called it the graves of lust. Because they murmured and complained. They could not be, happy with what God did. They had to murmur about something. Well, that'll change our attitude if the turkey gets burnt. You're going to have to do something about that, I guess. And another way you can see that this thing happens, is selfishness. People are so selfish. We have a tendency to just let self rule. Especially when we're just, not showing kindness to other people. We don't consider other people. We're insensitive to their needs or the things that they're going through. We just, we're selfish. People come in church and go their way and don't even consider maybe speaking to so-and-so or how you doing, how's it going, how's your wife, how's your father, how's your mother, how's your children, how's your blah, 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 whatever. How's everybody doing? Because you're so selfish. All you're concerned about is yourself. Well, I came tonight. Nobody else did, but I came. I'm better than they are. Then you get pride. That's another problem. But then I think another way you see they forget God. They forget God. And I don't want to forget God. We look through the Bible, and you can go through many occasions. I think that's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Forget not. Now, he was concerned. I don't want to forget them because they're there for me to appropriate every opportunity. I need them, and God's given them to me. Those are what he loathes, those daily benefits he loathes me with. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of the curses is because if you don't serve the Lord with joyfulness and thankfulness, the curse will come upon you. That's something maybe we don't always see. Maybe the reason you're having problems in your life is because you're just not being thankful, and that is the will of God. Maybe everything else is just right, but you're just not thankful. You're a murmurer, and you're a complainer, a fault finder, and you're selfish. And that's the problem. It could very well be. And you can see this in so many cases like this. You can see examples of those things. But then again, I think a big thing is discontentment. People become discontent. And when you become discontent, you have a tendency to begin to complain about other people. And discontent is just a bad attitude about things. And remember 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8 and following, I think it is. Well, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, what is great gain in life? To be godlike and be content. It's what? It's gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and certainly we'll carry nothing out. Now, the implication is, in contrast to godliness, is covetousness, material things. Because he goes on, having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. Money will kill people. It ruins lives. It destroys them. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money that is evil. It is the love of it. It's the wanting it and desiring it and seeking after it and lying and cheating to get it. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves with many sorrows and many, through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now here comes the godly part. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, and fight for it. Because you're going to have to fight for it. And that's where the great gain is. And so, like Paul says, I've learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content, in Philippians chapter 4. And I think a lot of people, as much as you have, you become discontent. Now, would you call that a sin? Because you have something, you really don't have a need, but you're discontent with it. And who makes you discontent? This society and all the advertisement that constantly bombards you and the sales pages you get and the discounts this and discounts that, the doorbusters, it makes you discontent. It makes you want more. It makes you covet after it and desire it. I'm not saying it's wrong to have things. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a sale. But I'm going to tell you what, you get to a place you realize, are you discontent? What's going on in your heart? Because when you get that way, you begin to turn away and you become unthankful for what you have. So the next time you go to a sale, why don't you buy something for somebody else who has a need? Well, that just went dead as it could be. But Matthew chapter 6, he tells us, he'll provide your food for you, your shelter for you, and don't be concerned about everything else, but you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. You don't have to run to the sales to get them. God will send them to you free. That's a better deal. He'll provide every need that you've got. Or he'll give you a raise. Or he'll promote you and whatever he has to do. Because God is going to provide for his people. And I believe in prosperity, but I believe you can let that become a stumbling block in your life also. And so the world's always telling us that we you deserve better. Really? We don't deserve anything. As sinners, we don't deserve anything. We've done better than we deserve. So you have to look at things a little differently. Now you see today, I look and see young people are more discontent as discontent they can be. They cannot be satisfied with anything, it seems like. It's just a constant changing going on. And they're disgruntled about everything. And so I believe it's just one thing that God's saying to us, that it's one of the thanksgiving to God is one of the ways we can show our deepest appreciation for all that he has done for us, all that he's doing in us, and he's promised to do for us. And if you stop and you look what he says over in Jonah chapter 2, just look over here a second with me in Jonah chapter 2, because this is miracle-working stuff here, folks. This is miracle-working stuff here. Jonah was in the belly of the whale, as we all know. It was a difficult situation. And it says in verse 7 of Jonah 2, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Why do we have to always get to that place of fainting before we remember him? We always get into the hardships, then all of a sudden we remember the Lord. Then all of a sudden conviction seems to ride heavy over our heads. And he says, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came in unto thee and into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now that whale that he was in was a lying vanity. That circumstance was the lying vanity he was observing. And he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And look what happened. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out out Jonah upon the dry land. When did Jonah get delivered? When he was thankful. When he quit complaining and murmuring. When he became content with what the Lord was doing in his life. That's when God, here comes deliverance, folks. Now, you can't just do it as, oh, I'm going to thank God, it's going to work. It's got to be from your heart. It's got to be down inside you. And that's what he did. Suppose you think that he was thinking that, well, if I praise the Lord, he's going to spit me out. I think he just came to his senses. And he had a change of heart. And he just began to thank God. In the belly of the whale, he was having a praise party. And that's what caused God to move on his behalf. And that's what he's talking about for all of us right there. It just opens a door for the supernatural power of God to manifest itself in our lives. So let us focus on Jesus. Let us focus on God and his attributes. Let us focus on his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, because Psalm 63 says his loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise him. Now, that's quite a statement. His loving kindness is better than life. Is that true of all of us? That our loving, that God's loving kindness to us is better than life? I want to read this little story from a man named Pete Hegseth. This little article I read, and I thought, I like this. He said, this Thanksgiving, stark cultural contrast provides the prism through which I'm thankful for our country's blessings in public service. During 6 years in the Army, I've witnessed the most patriotic, courageous, and intelligent Americans our country has to offer. From wartime generals to war-tested fire team leaders, our warriors alone are reason enough to give thanks. They make the extraordinary seem ordinary. I recently started a master's degree program at Harvard University. While my classmates are impressive and well-intentioned, with gleaming resumes and do-good spirits, I can paraphrase the late William F. Buckley, Jr. and say that I'd rather be led by the first 2,000 names in the U.S. military database than by 2,000 master's candidates from Harvard. The ethos of selfless and meaningful service is nowhere demonstrated better than the U.S. military. Our current servicemen and our veterans represent the best of our country's past and future, and we mustn't lose sight of how blessed we are to have them flung across the globe in the cause of freedom. We must also never forget those who sacrificed their Thanksgiving for ours. And I read that, and when I did, I thought, now, I'd rather be led by those people who are in God's database than I would be those who come out of seminaries and don't even know God. And I'd much rather realize that a lot of the people of the church should be just as patriotic to God and courageous in their fighting for the cause of Christianity. And they should be just as loyal as these people are in the Army, even more so. He says he sees all of these people like that in that kind of thing as far as the armed service is concerned. And these people sacrifice so you can have a Thanksgiving. They sacrifice theirs. But what do we sacrifice for God? What do we give in sacrifice? Do we serve God? Do we really give up things in order that others can be, you know, we can see their well-being, something well come into their life, that God will bless them, that we can do something, that we can give up something, that we can serve God? Yes, country is good, but God is more important to us. It's first. This is good, but it's an analogy here of us. What are we willing to serve? Are we serving God? These people really, they devote themselves to give their lives. And yet Christians cannot devote themselves to even basically be committed to Christianity. To attend church, to give, to sacrifice. It's like it's too much. But see, we have to give account to God. Just as these soldiers, if they go AWOL, they got to get account to higher authority. If we go AWOL, we have to give account to God. And one day we will. So all of it's about our service to God, being willing to sacrifice, being willing to give, for it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Are you thankful from your heart? Are you? Really? Then tomorrow, remember there are some people that are sacrificing their Thanksgiving to protect you, to protect this country, in spite of the fact that there are so many that are against our Army and Navy and Marines today. Two guys just captured somebody from one of those wicked Taliban people. And now the guy got a busted lip. Now they're going to take him to court. Take soldiers to court. Well, you know what? I would say, I'm glad they busted his lip. I'm sorry they didn't chop his head off. That's what they'd have done to you. Because the guy they caught was a guy that killed people and hung them from a bridge, displaying before all society. And now they're going to take these people because this poor little guy that killed everybody else and was so wicked in doing it, he had a busted lip, and so they're going to bring charges against these guys. Something wrong with all that stuff. Pray for those people. Pray for you people that are protecting this country and giving us peace and freedom and liberty. And remember to be thankful for one another. Be thankful for your mother and your father. Be thankful for your church and all that God has given you. Thankful for your job and your health. Be thankful, folks. Don't let it get by you. Don't let it slip by, because if you do, then what you're doing is you're becoming a murmur, and it's a problem. Like in a church, a minister, an old Scotland preacher said to a woman every time he was preaching, she'd be, "Praise the Lord." He told her, he said, "Ma'am," he said, "would you please refrain yourself from doing it, because every time you praise the Lord like that, it makes me lose my train of thought." So he said, and the woman was poor, so he said to her, he said, "I'll give you some blankets if you will just, for 1 year, just won't do that. Make that noise distract me." She needed those blankets, so she thought on that for a while, and she started to do it. And she restrained herself. But one day, another preacher came in there, and he was just all full of joy and preaching the Lord, preaching on forgiveness about salvation. Before you know it, it seemed like those vision of those blankets just faded away. And a vision of salvation came back into focus, and she jumped up and said, "Blankets, no blankets, hallelujah!" That's the kind of attitude we're supposed to have. It's not what the world gives us. Turkey or no turkey. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, that as we take this time to think about our own relationships with one another as well as with you, that we would dwell on the thought of thanksgiving. Are we truly thankful? Is it in our heart? Do we show gratitude and appreciation in a way that really does express our hearts are sincere? Deal with us and cause us, Lord, to be a thankful people, to express it in sincerity, in order, Lord, that we might glorify you in all that we do, and that we would appreciate one another for all that they do, and we would not take anyone for granted. We ask that and give you the honor and the glory and the praise in the name of Jesus.